me to Lamentation, chapter number 2. That's the book right after Daniel. The book wherein he is grieved for the pitiful, pitiful condition that Israel is in. Second chapter, Lamentation. If you're there, would you seek the Lord with me? Father, we have heard in him of Christ sustaining in our last moments here as we depart. I believe that to be true, but I believe that it is based upon a lifetime of obedience, walking pleasing unto thee, yielded to thy spirit. Not directed by my own desires, my own religious whims, not serving a God of my fanciful imagination, but striving day after day to find thee, to know thee, and surely if you grant that, we'll be a people that loves thee. Now, as we gather this evening, probably weary bodies, weary minds, and somewhat of a rather bleak chapter, sad passage of Scripture, that a people so highly favored could come to this. And if it was possible, and it did happen to them, we will not skip merely through life thinking everything is okay. But by thy help, we'll take seriously the admonitions, make certain our election, our calling. Know ye how that Christ is in us, except we be reprobate. So I pray you'd help the preacher and these dear souls. And would you open hearts and ears to hear? We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know what the title is other than An Elect Nation Reprobated. And if you think it can't happen, all you've got to do is read this and other passages. Thee have I chosen, God said, before all nations, not because you were large in number, for you were few, but the reason I chose you was that I loved you. And that chosen nation was later reprobated. So a nation can lose its standing with God. Israel did it. America has done it. A church can lose its standing, though he might exalt one to heaven. It can sure lose its standing and end up cast down to hell. God will save his people in Israel, then he'll cast them off, the nation. And he'll save his people in Ephesus, and then he'll shut the door and cast them off. And he'll save a people in America. And then he'll shut the door and cast them off. If it can happen to a nation highly favored of God above all nations, and if it can happen to a church, seven of them really, but to one in particular that had a greater revelation from God than any of Paul's writings. He wrote to the church at Ephesus. But God shut the door, reprobated her, along with the six other churches in Asia Minor. And there has not been one since that good hour. Well, I'm sure the building continued on for a while. As there are a few left standing of the old church buildings in America. I've always enjoyed when I had the opportunity to go to where a noted preacher spoke. Always enjoyed that, but it's just a building. God's gone. Some states have made them a historic place, and they are preserving and keeping them, but it's just a building. God's gone. A lot of individuals have started out, look so promising only to end up being cast off by God. That is, when they knew God, they just didn't want to retain the knowledge of God. And God cast them off, as He did Israel. And one day, you can mark it down, if Christ tarries for any length of time, there will be no such thing as Kerith Baptist Church. Building may be here. There may be a few folks still coming. But God won't be here. We get a hold of something. We prize it. We hold on to it. And then it just kind of dissipates as the next generation comes along, the next generation comes along, and that which was living has become a dead carcass. Or they go on with their programs. But they're not living organisms. And about all that's in America is organizations called churches. If we are a church, it is not an organization. It is a living organism with Christ in our midst. But if He is in any degree, and I think to a small degree that we could say that He is, to a small degree, one day it will not be so. Well, Lamentation chapter 2. Several verses I would like to read to you, beginning with verse 1, then skipping down a little. How hath the Lord covered the daughter of Zion? Well, now if you just stop there, that sounds good. Because there was a cloud that provided shade for Israel traveling through the wilderness by day. Not only did it provide shade, but it provided direction. As the cloud moved in whatever direction, so the children of Israel followed it, and by night, a cloud which was a pillar of fire. So the Lord had covered the daughter of Zion. Oh, He did that in Israel's early history. But we can't stop there because there is no period. There is no ending of the sentence. He's covered the daughter of Zion with the cloud in His anger. And cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not His footstool. God had a tabernacle, and God had a tent, and in that tabernacle, or in that temple or tent, temple lash, God had a place. Where he met with his children, the very footstool of God was in that old tent and in that temple, God's footstool. They'd gather in, God be there. But God's not remembering that here. Remembering not his footstool in the day of his anger. Cloud covering Zion because of my anger. No remembrance in my mind of my footstool when I gathered with Israel when they were a people early espoused and in love. Don't remember that in the day of my anger. Now verse 5 and following. The Lord was as an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds. And hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. And Zion that was favored above all cities, and Israel above all nations. There was a time when the nations around knew that the living God was the God of Israel. I don't know how Rahab knew. She didn't have a Bible, and she didn't have a preacher, but when the spies got into the land of Canaan, she had already heard how God was defeating all the enemies of Israel. They all knew. Nations knew. Nations trembled as Israel marched towards them. Because they knew God was going to wipe them off the face of the earth. There's one group that escaped that. They put on old clothes and old ragged shoes. And they threw out some bread and let it get stale. And they got to Joshua and the children of Israel. And said, we've been traveling for a long time to get here. And they deceived them, but they knew something's got to be done or that nation's going to destroy us. So God has highly, highly favored his people. They knew of his mighty acts. And now everybody passes by Shiloh and they're wondering, what under heaven did those people do to make that God that did so much for them angry with them? And the place Shiloh, his footstool, where he met with his people. Why, it's nothing but a dunghill now. You think God doesn't mind destroying a people? You do it in a heartbeat. You, me, this church. Do any of us think so highly of ourselves that we feel God owes us? No. No. The Lord, who was the friend of Israel, turned to be their enemy. And all her lovely palaces and all the strongholds that God had increased in the daughter of Judah, all that's gone. He's taken it all away. Verse 6, and he hath violently taken away his tabernacle as if it were a garden. Several places in the scripture refer to the church as the garden of God. God walking through it, smelling the fragrance from the flowers that he has planted. Walking through it, enjoying the beauty wherein he has clothed his garden. But not now. Not Israel. He's taken away the place where he met with them, his tabernacle. And further down, he has destroyed the places of the assembly. God's leaving them without a temple. Getting about time, if not already, when you put up the farming tools, most of the crops are in, and you've oiled them if they needed it. You've stored them up in a dry place because you won't need them. The planting season is over. And God's put up all the instruments. He's not weeding the garden of Israel anymore. He's not plowing it out. He's not breaking up their fallow ground. He's caused the solemn feast and the Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion. Babylon's come in and they've carried them all away captive, left a few to tend the land, a few of the poor of the people in Israel, left a few of them to tend the land, took most of them to Babylon, and those that are in Babylon, They've forgotten the Sabbath. They went down by the river. They hung their harps on the willow trees. And those in Israel, they don't have a Sabbath anymore. It's all forgotten. God's taken it out of their memory. And hath despised in the indignation of his anger the king. That may be referring to Zedekiah, probably is, that Nebuchadnezzar took down to Babylon, slew his boys in front of his eyes. Jeremiah had told him time and again, if you just submit to this foreign power, God will protect you. They wouldn't do it. Wouldn't hear Jeremiah. Princes persuaded him that Jeremiah was lying, was a false prophet. And so the king of Babylon took his boys. The last thing that Zedekiah ever saw was his boys being put to death, and then he put his eyes out. And he lived in prison the rest of his days. So the indignation and the anger of God towards the king and the priest, they would not hear the word of God. They preferred their prophets. And God said, all right, you go into prison. Verse number 7. The Lord hath cast off his altar. If you ain't got an altar, not down here at the front of this church, if you ain't got an altar in glory, you're in trouble. If above that altar you do not have a high priest making intercession for you, you're in trouble. Like Israel, like America, like most churches. And you know what, folk? This is not in any way jealousy towards any of them. God knows I'm telling you the truth. I don't have it. But they got to put up their big signs and their huge crosses in town. And they got to have all their programs to keep drawing people because they have such a turnover in people that they got to have all this to make up for what we lost a long time ago, and that was the dealings of God with the people. Verse 7, the Lord hath cast off his altar, and he hath abhorred that which once was his delight. Oh, my delight with the sons of men, with my bride, going, dwelling in the sanctuary when I've got a group of people coming in there that long to worship, and they come in because they have a heart that loves. God loved that sanctuary. But he hates it now, and hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. And if you ever break down walls, you're without protection. All you got, with God casting off his altar, abhorring his sanctuary, and removing the walls, you got a noise in the house of the Lord. Now listen, and only two more verses here. Verse 8, the Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore he made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languish together. God's removed all her protection. And verse 9. Her gates are sunk into the ground. Kind of like Nehemiah and Ezra going back to Jerusalem when it had been destroyed. And they go around, the walls broken down, all the gates down. And they look at it with broken hearts. This was the city of God. And look at it now. Look what the enemy has done to it. And Israel, time and again, had been blessed with prophets. God rising early and oft, sending them warning. But if a people, if a nation, if an individual fails to honor God, God's house, God's law, God's Sabbath, you know what God will do? He'll destroy him. Let's get it more personal. He will destroy you, and it's just with God to take away anything that we lightly use. This place, His Word, preaching, what little you got, what you do not value will be taken from you. You don't have much, I know that. But we need to begin prizing the little we got, praying for more. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. Now listen, the law is no more. They might have a Bible, and they might have somebody stand up and read the law, but they don't have God. And I don't care how much you read, and I care not how many sermons you hear, if you don't have God, it's of no value. You didn't value my sanctuary, you didn't value my altar, now I'm going to pollute it. You didn't value my law, I'll take it away from you. And you didn't value the prophets. And last phrase in verse 9, her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. The word vision means oracles. divine teachings. There are only three prophets alive that we know about at this time: Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. After the captivity, we only know of three more: Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And Israel didn't hear any of them. And God said to the prophets, "Do not pray for this people anymore." When God takes somebody off your heart, you've had a longing to see saved and brought to Christ. If you forget to pray for them, you have no heart to pray for them. They are in dire straits. Her prophets find no vision. God's not talking to them. 1 Samuel 3:1, "You do not have to turn. The child Samuel grew and ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious." That meant it was valuable. It was costly. Highly prized. You know why the word of the Lord was precious in Samuel's day? Because God stopped speaking to Israel. Eli's still living, but God's not talking to him. Invoke it again, 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 I tell you. It's not my voice that'll do you any good. It's God's voice in your soul. And I have this fear within that there may be one or two of you that keep on saying no to the Lord. No, another day, wait. Until you're going to be without a preacher who has a word from God for your soul. The word of God was precious because there was no open vision when Samuel was a little fellow. The law's no more. They didn't make use of it. God took it from them. And he just shut it up. You didn't use it when you had it. Now go to it and try to find something from it. You think God's not serious about this thing, fool? And God sends them. No more prophets hear anything from God, so God's not talking to them. But God sends them this word: "Go, go to the prophets that you've been listening to and those that have flattered you, and those that have prophesied visions of their own heart. Go let them tell you. And you know what Saul, first king, did when God quit talking? He ended up at a witch's house. Disobeyed God. Failed to listen to God. And God said, okay, I'm through with you. And he never had another word. And he ended up at a witch's house trying to find a word from God. One last verse and you can go. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29 verse 18. It is the same word where there is no vision. Vision is the same word here as in Lamentation 2, verse 9. Her prophets find no vision. It is the same word as in 1 Samuel 3, where there was no open vision. And it means there was no prophecy, no divine communication. Heaven was silent. The Lord had a few prophets, but they wouldn't hear. And the princes of Israel went to the king, said, if you don't do something about Jeremiah, he's weakening the hands of all our soldiers, telling everybody we're going into captivity. Do something about him. So they wouldn't hear. And guess what happens when one won't hear God's word? They'll lose heaven's message to their soul. Acts 13, Paul said, okay, that's the way you want it. We're through with you. We won't be fooling with you Jews anymore. We'll turn to the Gentiles. Now, folks, listen, because the scriptures are read and because they are expounded and maybe rightly so, does not mean that there is divine communication in the preaching or in the reading of Scripture. It does not mean that God's talking to you. And Jesus walked out from the crowd and he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven, earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent. You've shut their eyes where they could not see, and you've stopped up their ears where they could not hear. That's what happens when there is no vision. Or this is what happens when there is no vision. The people perish. That is, They are made naked. They are stripped of their armor and exposed to danger. Let God take from you a messenger. His word no longer active in your heart. Let God take away your Bible, though you read it every day. And the call preacher, let God take them away. And you've got no covering. And you've got no protection from your enemies. See, if you've got God's voice speaking and being heard, you've got hearts convicted and lives changed. But it is not so when there is no divine communication, the people perish. That is another meaning, another translation. They are let go. They are let loose. They are let alone. Folk, the worst thing God can ever do for you in time and in eternity is just leave you alone. And when there is no divine communication, no vision, then people are let go, let loose, let alone, and God finally removes all restraints. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. An elect nation was reprobated by God. An elect people, as dear to God's heart as could receive the greatest letter written in this book, Ephesus. Of course, the others are weighty too. God reprobated them. And it will happen here. It's going to happen. There's not an if about it, folks. We're just hoping and praying that it doesn't happen in our lifetime and in our children's lifetime. But we have no promise except we hear and obey.